is in Christ Jesus, in Yahushua, Yahshua, God's salvation, the name by which we have been called, the name that is above every other name, the name that trumps all of these little stupid satanic minions running around in the world, the name that is above every personality, cult, everything that calls itself God but is not, everything that sets itself up to be false messiahs. As Jesus said, many will come in that, will come in these days claiming to be the Messiah in Matthew 24. But they are not your Savior, they are not your God, they are not your Lord, they are not anything. No, there's only one. His name is Jesus, Yahshua, Yahushua, Christ our Savior. And in that process, in that time, in the way that things have been folding out, and the world working towards that which it tries so hard to convince you, so very, very hard, here we are. Hey, how you doing? 2011. Welcome to a good year. A good year for the body of Christ. A good year for God's people. This absolutely is going to be a fantastic year for His people. Now, when I say a fantastic year, I'm not talking about a fantastic year according to the way the world classifies a fantastic year. The world classifies a fantastic year as, full of pleasure, free from any sort of pain or any sort of problem, where your material wealth is increased at the expense of others, and basically you rise up in that pyramid a little bit higher, on your way to getting closer to Lucifer, the god that they serve. That for them is a good year. For us, a fantastic year constitutes what God says is, now this is life eternal, John 17 verse 3, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you've sent, Jesus Christ. This is going to be a year that you will know Him in a way that you have yet to have experienced Him. The depth of the love of God will be manifest in your life as you seek Him through the challenges that you may face. This is going to be a good year for you in the respect that His plan and purpose will be manifest in a way that you never dreamed possible as you seek Him. That's a good year for us. Because you know what? Here's one of the things. The problem that people look for, they look for things in the external. But you have to understand that the external world is temporal, is transitory, is passing away. And the things that are eternal, the things that are of spirit, those are the things that last. And those are the things that God is interested in cultivating in you. The kingdom is within. Luke 17, 20 through 21. So the kingdom is within. And as God is taking you within, He is seeking that you would also understand what is priority, what is important, what is life, and what is not. And if you can line up with that, if you can line up with what God says is important, the way that you relate to this life, this world, your time in this world will be very, very different. Now, again, the world works very hard to keep you from that. That's why you get so many distractions surrounding you on every side. That's why the world is continually bombarding you on every side with a plethora, if you will. Pick your poison of basically here. What do you want? Do you want pleasure? Do you want distractions? Do you want your football games? Do you want your drama of your family situations? What do you need to keep you occupied and focused on the external? Because whatever that is that can draw you off of that, that can draw you off of your game ultimately, that's what the world will bring you. And as soon as it finds something that hits that soft spot within your spirit, it will pour it on, and keep you going down that line as long as possible. Jesus with Mary and Martha, and Martha running around the kitchen doing all kinds of great things for them, but missing the main thing, which Jesus said, look, Mary has chosen that which was better in that situation. She's sitting at the feet of Christ, listening to his words, going within, and going within with Christ. And he said, this will not be taken from her. So while the world says to Jesus, tell her to come over and help me, tell her to leave that place of intimacy, if you decide in your heart that you want to be with Christ and walking with him and close to him, that will not be taken from you. But that is a decision and a choice that you make. We make free will choices, we make free will decisions, and we also get the consequences of those, be they good or be they bad. And that's why in Deuteronomy 28, I believe, God says, you know, here you go. There's before you this day blessings and curses. And choose life. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24, 15. I think that's one that we keep even on the homepage. Why? Because constantly you're making that choice. You are choosing if you will serve the Father, or you're choosing if you will go the way of the world and that wicked system. So in the process of that wicked system, there's a bunch of you have written back on big C and little C, and I think there's just stuff that just needs to be put out there and needs to be said. The elephant in the room is quite massive, and if we can understand what is God and what is not, and call things for what they are, you actually got a good shot at walking through this life, and walking through this life knowing what things are. See, look, for me, one of the things is, just call it like it is. Just tell me what things really are so we can deal with it. But please, 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 do not call yourself a minister of the gospel when you're a servant of the devil. Do not tell me that you are serving God, that you are witnessing of truth when you are a complete sellout and just a shill of a marketing campaign. Here's something for me. You know, when sometimes when people refer, you know, to some of these modern day, some of these quote unquote mega ministries that are out there. Look, some of you that are close, some of you that are really close, you know some of my background, you know some of the things that I've been involved with and some of the things that, that I've been close to. I can reverse engineer, the external manifestation of what some of these things are, to the point I could get to the place where I know the conversation that took place in their boardrooms at some of these mega ministries when they decided, here's how we are going to target this audience that we have our lock on. And when the shopping cart is the first thing that pops up on some of these people's pages that are out there, doesn't that just grate on you? I mean, must you hawk and sell your wares? These books aren't even good. They're like hodgepodge pieces of pop psychology that they bring together, but because they've got a market, because they've got people locked in with the Jesus thing, and people buy it. Why do they buy it? Oh, my gosh, why do they buy it? Because, you know, these are substandard musicians, substandard writers, substandard, it's like something that came out of some spot in Russia that's never been opened up to a market, or I don't know. I mean, I'm like, how did this, who buys this? But the reason they buy it is because they've got people locked into the idea and the perception that this is something of God. Now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so, you know, ultimately, God's true sheep, when they see that crap, it's something grates against them. Something's just like, you know, just something's not right here. I don't know quite what it is, but I know something's not right here. Something is off. Something doesn't work. Something doesn't fit. And I'm just not into it. I'm just not, no, it's just fluff. There's nothing there. You know, that's enough for God's people. And they just keep moving. But, you know, there's a group of people that are used to eating spiritual McDonald's and just are completely, you know, if you try to take them off of that, they go into detox mode and they freak out. You know, I had a really nice conversation this morning with a wonderful, wonderful friend in the body of Christ, and we were talking about Ephesians 4, and we were talking about what the true nature is, again, of a minister in the body of Christ, what that means. You know, when we went through big C and little C, we went through, here's what the church is according to God's definition. Not man's, but God's. Not some sellouts thing of, here, come here every week, and if you're not here, there's something wrong with you. There's something that's not right. Oh, where were you, brother? Where was I? What do you mean, where was I? I was out doing the will of God. Where were you? Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't see you out there. Sorry. God wants His people to do His will. You know, I look at early scriptures and I see, here's your leadership. You've got the early church in Antioch, and one day God speaks to the hearts of them, and now 40% of their leadership is out traveling the world for a long time. Paul and Barnabas sent out to do what God told them to do and commission. Who's doing that these days? Not your weekend, 1 week missions trip to somewhere in Mexico across the border where you went and came back and gave out some tracts. No, who's going? Who's staying? Who's putting themselves out there? Who's giving themselves up for whatever it is that God called them to do? No, they don't give you that. They don't want you to do that. No, you got to stay and pay your tithe. You've got to stay and keep this whole thing going, because if you don't keep this thing going, their whole system collapses. The way that you keep this thing going is by basically giving your will over to it. Basically by saying, that which is not really is. And you contribute of yourself into that system, and you keep it going, and you miss what God really wants to do with you, and then you wonder, why is my life so dry? Why is my faith so dull? Where are the miracles? Where is the truth? Where is the reality of the gospel? It's right there. It never went anywhere. Well, actually, it did go somewhere. It went where God went, and those that moved with Him went with Him. And they experienced that life. They know it. They know the truth of the Word. They know the miracles and the power of God. They know what it is to live the abundant life, and the rest don't. You know, honestly, we're the ones that have all the fun. We seriously do. We seriously do. We live an amazing adventure. God does it. God does it in and through us. I make zero apologies for the life that I live in Christ. I make zero apologies to anybody that would wonder, why does he get to do... What do you mean, why do I get to do what I do? I get to do what I do because basically when God called, I said, sure, I'll go. Lord, when Jesus Christ called my name, I responded and I said, God, here you go. This life, everything that it is, it's yours. Wherever you say go, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. And in that process of turning my life over, I tell you, He put me through the mill on every level. And at the close of this, you become something that God will use for His plan and purpose. And you've got to make a decision each and every day to walk in this line. Because stuff comes at you continuously. It's a journey. It's not a one-time prayer that you make. So, yeah, you know, in the journey, you know, back to, you know, talking about Ephesians 4, you know, we call things out for what they are. Because you know what, here, I've got to do this on occasion. Because if I don't expose the stuff that's not, people then continue to say, oh yeah, this is okay. Oh, we like them. Oh, they're our friends. No, they're not your friends. They're not your friends. These satanic workers are not your friends. These sellouts of the devil that transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, they look the part. Lucifer himself comes as an angel of light. These that work that way, that come this way, they're not your friends. They're opportunists. Ephesians 4, you know, actually, let me grab this. I'm just going to read this since we are in the process of talking about some of these things. And I love the word. I don't need the pop psychology. Thank you very much. Give me the word. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10. He that descendeth is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay. All right, let me stop there just for a second. Now, one thing when I was having that talk with my friend this morning, it was clarifying the way the world takes something and the way that God intends something. And the way that the world tries to use that which God intends it, twists it for its own purposes, and then continues to try to use that for building its system. See, the world can't create. The world can only take that which God has put out there and try to thwart it for itself. So say something like this, where it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, all right, this also has to be overlaid with the reality in 1 Peter where God has said that you are a priesthood of all believers. In fact, let's see here. That you are a priesthood of all believers, that you are a royal priesthood, that, see, if you don't live up to the reality of who God has called you to be, and if you allow them to put this on you, this deception on you, what ends up happening is you fall for the lie. What happens, say, with something like this. Now, God calls, basically what God does is He says, look, you've got one high priest, which is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is no one higher than Him. There is no name higher than Him. He is the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Yeshua, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord, that He is highest. He's overall. Now, everyone that's engrafted into Christ, everyone that comes into Him, in Him we live and move and have our being, you are now a royal priesthood. You are now a priest. You are now one little priest running around in this world doing the will of the Father. So now, in the middle of that, you are part of, scriptures talk about us being part of the body. So if you are part of the body of Christ, now let's look at the body. Because see, actually we live in a we exist in a living example of a natural manifestation of God's principles. So here, you have your own body. You're walking around in it. Okay, your body has systems inside of it, right? You've got a skeletal system, you've got a circulatory system, you've got a respiratory system, you have a nervous system. So you've got these different systems that are part of your body that enable your body to function. Now, is your circulatory system more important than your respiratory system? No, they all work together. If your nervous system is not functioning right, and you are dealing with some internal problem in your body, you'll end up with a whole lot bigger issue because you've got nerve damage or something's not working there in that system. So like that, in your body, you have different systems that are in place. So when God talks about, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and pastors and teachers, He is talking about a system, one of the systems within His body. Not a us and them. There is no us and them. There is Christ Jesus, the high priest, and then you've got the royal priesthood, which is every single one of us in the body. Now, you've been given different responsibility, yes, just as a system has different responsibility, but there is no lording over anyone else. Period. Right. Okay, so what does that system do? Verse 12 in Ephesians. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right. You know, that's usually where people stop when they speak about this. And so basically what they use in the world system is they say, okay, here's how the world works. So God, this is what they'll say. Now this is the world. They will say, alright, so here God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And usually because they want to lord it over other people, they'll put themselves at the front and they'll say, so I'm an apostle! I am an apostle! And so then they're like, so now they want to be, you know, that, so that they can now have some special title. Oh gosh, have you seen some of those cards? Okay, anyways, it's great when it's on a business card. Oh my gosh. Alright, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Alright, that's what they should be doing. Till we all come to the unity of faith. So basically, in them, with the unity of faith, is everybody agrees with them. If you don't, you're a heathen. Oh, you weren't on Sunday service. You're a heathen. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, let's keep going, shall we? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. You know, one of the problems that you look at it, you see it, it's right there, it's there in your face. You know, they can, among those that are part of that system, so they'll get one of these guys will come in there with a little bit of charisma, a little bit of a good slide presentation, and all of a sudden now everybody's on for this next program, whatever that next program is. Here's what we're going to do now. Here's the next thing that we're on. Where were you going before? What was the vision that God gave you before that you could now stop everything that you were doing and go on to this next church program? Oh, here's what we're going to do now. Oh, missions trip to Mexico. That's what we're going to do. For 2 weeks, you wouldn't, oh, not even 2 weeks. Yeah, because that's right, that's all the world will let you off from their system, because you got to get back to work. Time to build that pyramid. That tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, a child, a child is easily deceived. A child is easily tricked. You know, I remember, like, some time back, somebody gave me one of those, like, what is it? It's like one of those little magic books, like, you know, kind of like those tricks that you would do with, you know, like a handkerchief or, like, just, you know, a piece of rope or string or just kind of one of those kind of things, just a novelty thing. Now, I could do that, one of those tricks with a five-year-old. It's the most obvious thing in the world how it worked. But to that five-year-old, he's like, wow! Whoa! Now, to any adult that looked, they're like, you dropped it. It's right there. It's right there on your, it's right there underneath your leg. It's like, yeah, I know. You know, but to the kid believes me. Why? Because he's five. Because he believes, because he's easily, a child is easily swayed. And you know, the world works very hard for you not to grow up, to keep you in a base reality, to keep your mind from ever going within with Christ, to keep you from ever dealing with the important things. The world works very hard at that. And so do the false workers. So do the satanic workers. That's why, that's why you have these ridiculous sermons that are out there, that they put out there. That's why they have their once a week, 30-minute fix, fluff gospel, two little scriptures, if that, taken out of context, to basically pad your life in the world and tell you how God is your little genie in this bottle that you rub to get your way. And give us your money because we will go and do the job that scriptures say should be done. But they never do. They never go anywhere. They'll give a scrap to a marketing campaign they'll put together in some other place and then show that to you so that alleviates your conscience, so that all of you, none of them did what God told them to do. None of them. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Yeah, I know. Am I not so loving? So, you know what? Look. I love you guys. That's the reason why I'm telling you this. I love you guys enough to not allow for crap like Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers to be considered real. It's not. Oh my goodness, it's not. It is a combination of pop psychology, personality cults. You know what? Here. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. Grow up! Grow up. You know what? When people are... Here's one way you can tell. If somebody is actually ministering and actually fulfilling what these roles are supposed to be in verse number 11, here's the thing. You are growing. You basically, a child today needs their parent more or less than they did yesterday. If a child is growing up, that child needs that parent or that person less today than they did yesterday, if they're growing. They're less dependent, less needing, less hooked into that need than they were before, because they're growing and that is taking place right in that home. So if you are as dependent or more dependent on that ministry now, quote-unquote ministry, now than you were before, there's a problem. If you're so hooked in that you can't do something without wondering what is... there's a problem. Are you listening to the voice of the Spirit, or do you need still a mediator? Do you still need somebody to tell you this is what God is saying to you? You know what the curse of the law was? A short version. The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. See, in the Old Covenant, the whole way the whole temple was set up, all the different pieces that were set up and put in place there, was ultimately you needed a person to help you to get to God. So you went through all of for the Jewish nation, they went through all of their sacrifices, all those different pieces that they had to go through every year, year in and year out. They had all of that stuff put in place because they had a whole set aside group of people that were there to help you to get to God. And when Christ Jesus came, when He bled and died on the cross for you, for your sins, when the veil of the temple, when Jesus said it is finished, and the veil of the temple rent in two from top to bottom, basically the hand of God reached into the natural, split that veil, which was knotted. I mean, it was so ridiculously thick. I mean, you could hang elephants off of that thing and it not tear. God ripped it from top to bottom. And when He did that, in the natural, there was a natural manifestation of a spiritual reality that the ark, which was a representation of His presence, was now revealed. There was no longer a separation between us and God. In Christ Jesus now, you needed no man to get to God. No man stood between you and the Father. No man has that place. And so what happened was, but see, here's the problem. That's bad for business. Oh my goodness, that's bad for business. See, as long as you need them, they have a market. As long as you believe that you need them, they have a market, I should say. So they've got to make you believe that there is something there that you lack. You know how they deny Christ? Here's one way, besides overtly, you know, denying that Jesus is who He said He was. One way they deny Christ, they deny His finished work. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," and they say, no, actually, it's not finished. You still need my 12-step book. You still need my 7 steps to whatever. Now, that's what you need to get to God. Smiling on the cover. Joy. No, you don't need them. You never did, actually. Liars, deceivers, deceitful workers, end times deceptions. People that surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Yeah, fine. You know, go ahead. If that's what you want, if that's what you need, if that is what you need to keep you going, but just don't call it God, please. Please, please, please. Just do not say that this is Him. It's not. Because when I go through, when I'm reading this thing, tell me how it fits. You tell me. Please. please write me, please write and sure, happy to hear it. Happy to hear how this works in your own mind. How does that fit in reality of the truth? Look, businesses in the world. You want to know some of the biggest businesses in the world? Government is a massive business in this world. Huge. Religion is a huge business. You have any idea how much money goes through religion? They just have to put a few trimmings on it but it's a massive business. And if you don't realize that there's a game that's being played, look, Jesus Christ, you cannot buy this. The gift of the gospel of Christ Jesus is not something for sale. The blood of Christ is without value. It's immeasurable. One drop is sufficient to take away the sins of the entire world, to pay for them. But it has to be appropriated. It has to be applied to the life of a person. And here's what it does. When Christ Jesus applies His blood to your life, when you receive that gift of eternal life that's in Him, what does that do? It gives you, it washes you clean. You're new. You've got a new beginning. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, you walk with Him now. You follow Him. See, these satanic workers, they don't want you to follow Him. They do not want you to follow Him. They want you to follow them. They want you to follow them. Come to the meeting. Buy my book. Be part of my system. And I'll tell you whatever you need to know so that you think you're okay. You're not okay. Not with them. They will destroy you. You know what is a sad thing for me? It's a sad thing. Because I get a chance to travel, and by God's grace and God's design, I do. And He sends me to and fro and to do that which He's called me to do. But when I go back to certain places, and I meet people that have been there for 10 years, 15 years, sitting inside some stupid box every Sunday, and they're in the same place, right where I left them last, have not grown, have not learned anything of who Christ really is. But they're there doing their service because somebody told them this is what they're supposed to do and that's enough. Right there, that's where they are. Okay, and? You know, and? Is there more for them? Do they want more? No. Well, alas, let the dead bury the dead. Your call is to follow Christ. Your call is to do that which God's called you to do. Look, the true ministers of the gospel that are out there, very, very, very few of them I know that actually get large-scale notoriety. I don't see that happen very often. Why? Because the world has a vested interest in you believing the lie. So why would the world turn over its machinery, its system, its ability to communicate to that somebody that would tell you the truth? No, it'll turn it over to the ones that will give you the lie. Those are the ones that get those are the ones that get the chance in their thing. They're not going to push the truth. Why would they? Look, if I was part of the world system, if I was on that side, I would not allow the truth to get out. Of course, why would I? Because it would be stupid for them to allow the truth speakers, those that are moving in the Spirit of God, to have that place and have that position. Now, sometimes God orchestrates the circumstances so that their hands are tied, that they have to, that they're pretty much, they don't have an option but to allow a child of God to come into the place that he's destined for them to be. And in that process, he shows himself strong. The Joseph situation is a case in point. Joseph, Pharaoh's court, look, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, and then you're going to have 7 years where it's going to swallow up in famine all that came before. And for Pharaoh, he's like, well, shoot, nobody else that I had around me had any idea that this was going to show up. Nobody else can interpret the dream. And nobody else knows what to do, and the outline that you just gave me for how to potentially save my own hide and the nation that I have under me sounds pretty darn good. So, here, okay, I'll tell you what, why don't you do it? That's a God thing. That's God orchestrating it. But yeah, if they didn't need him, back to the dungeon, Joseph goes. Thank you very much for interpreting the dream, Joseph. And you can just go back to your cell now, and we'll, that's good. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, so God orchestrates the circumstances and the situations for his people, but they won't give you, why are you expecting the world to give you something? The world bites and devours its own. What do you think it's going to try to do with a child of God? Are you kidding me? You think the world owes you something? Look, go back to scriptures. God promised, Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, please let me clarify it, because I know the satanic workers have talked about all these things being your Learjet and all the others. No, all these things, what you need to live and to make it through this life, God will provide it. He will take care of your needs. You know, God made me a promise early on in the way that he speaks to me. He just said, look, he said, Govind, he said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. That's it. He didn't even say my name. He just said, look, I'll give you the need when it's needed. That's it. And that's been true to form for the time that I've been walking with him throughout, is that whatever I've needed to do that which God's called me to do, it's always been there. And there's a lot of things that I did not need and have not been there. Great, fine, fantastic. Love it, because I don't want to be carrying the extra baggage right now. I don't need to be carrying a 40-year supply of food going into the desert. Why? If you're going to be in the desert for 40 years, look, God will provide. He knows how to send manna to those that will follow him. He knows how to take care of those that will walk with him. He knows how to watch over and care for those that trust him. So, he's been true to form throughout. What makes you think he'll stop now? What makes you think he'll stop now? Huh? Look, he knows what he's doing with his people. There's a lot that aren't his people that claim to be. I'm not talking to them. His body is fine. The body of Christ right now in the earth, you know what? They're fine. They are, when I meet the true soldiers of God, when I meet those that know him and that walk with him, they are fine. They walk with him, they move to and fro, they do the will of God, they carry out and fulfill his purposes. There is zero wrong with the Church of the Living God right now. There is a whole lot wrong with the satanic system in this world, that the little c, that calls itself something that it's not. Yeah, tons wrong there. Oh my gosh. That whole thing is so corrupt. It needs to be scrapped. Along with the UN, which should have gone the way of the League of Nations years ago. Human Rights Watch, what a joke. Oh my gosh. You Human Rights Watch, you have your lack of human resources is your latest excuse for the reason you can't do what you say your mandate is. Yeah, okay. Why don't you just go away? At least if these guys went away, then people would See, the fact that they exist, people think that there's something working towards a solution. It's not. Look, the only solutions in the earth are, God is a God of solutions. And it flows from His people. When things get bad, Joseph, Daniel, David, you go down the line. God's people have the solutions. God's people have the answer. Look, world system, we've already forgiven you. We've already let you off the hook as far as... We forgive you. We do. I mean, we don't hold anything in our hearts against you. Now, granted, God's going to toss you all into hell. That's your choice. You picked it. Don't get mad at us. Look, the choice was right there. Why are you... Don't get mad at us. Seriously, why are you mad at us? You picked to go to hell. You chose in yourself to serve the beast, to serve the world system. So when you wake up in an eternal torment, having missed it, do not get mad at us. It is your choice. Repent while you still have breath in your body. Stop following men. Man has zero for you. Man has nothing for you. The only way is Christ. That's it. And as far as faith mix goes, look, you already know we are not trying to build a following. We are not trying. If we had a business plan, business model for you, we would be doing a terrible job of carrying that out. Look, all we do here is we, as God gives us something, we put it out there for you. But we just put it out there. That's it. This is it. This is the close of it. Us, in seeking to, in obedience, use what God's given us according to what He directs us to do. We put it out there. That's it. Period. Nothing more to it than that. No more expectations than that. Do with it as you wish. But you know what? It's fun. It's interesting. Is that I see now more and more how you guys are sharing this with other people that want truth, with other people that actually really, really want to live, actually are sick of the deception, sick of the lie, sick of all of that crap that they're sold that's just hollow, and you share this with each other, and then people come back to us and they're like, wow. And we're like, yeah, you know what, there's truth out there. But you gotta ask for it, you gotta seek for it, you gotta knock for it. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. But if you're not asking for truth, you're not gonna receive it. If you're not seeking it, you're not gonna find it. If you're not knocking, there's no door gonna be opened for you. So, yeah, you know, that's it. But hey, you know, for us, hey, it's all good. It's all good in Christ Jesus. I do not lose a moment's sleep over the deceptions that are running around. Because you know what? If it's not these luciferic workers that are trying to pawn themselves off as ministers of righteousness, it's something else. If it's not, you know, here, okay. Why have I been mentioning Joyce Myers recently? You know, because I've got a little bone to pick there. Why? Because some people that I know, that I care about, a few of them, and they've brought this up a couple times, and I'm like, look, can you not tell the difference? Can you not see it? Does it not scream in the spirit off of just a screen or an audio? Can you not tell what's going on behind there? And if you can't see it for what it is, yeah, that's fine. You know, just my hope is if you really love truth, if you really love God, if you really, really want His way, that at somewhere along the way, it'll be made plain and made obvious. Yeah, you might have to have another Ted Haggard, you know, where, but even then it's sort of like, look, these are not isolated cases, people. This is the system they're all part of. There's a way that that whole thing works. The reason I know is because I had the inside view of so much of that in a way that most of you would be absolutely amazed. Because in my earlier days, back when the nickname for me was the, what do they call me? The Golden Boy. I know what goes on the inside of those places. I know what they're about. Not just in America, but in Asia as well. I've seen it. I've seen the inside, the ugly side of the whole thing. So for me, it's kind of like, and so now, you know, that for me put meat on the bones of what God would speak to me in the spirit. See, when I would go into different places, when I would go into certain buildings, people call them churches, I just call them buildings. Because you know what? The church is the body of Christ. You and I, people that know Him, you are the body of Christ. You are the church. A building is just a building. If God's people meet in there, fine. If the workers of the enemy meet in there, that's what they do. Church is not a place. You don't go to church, you are the church. But when I would go to these buildings, and I would sit down, and all of a sudden now, in the realm of spirit, God would start showing me all kinds of things that were going on. And for me, you know, I was like, okay, well, what is this? You know, what is it that I'm seeing? Because as time would go on, it would always be shown in the natural, as, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years later, this is what was going on. I'm like, okay, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you for revealing that. But, you know, when I got to see the inside of what a lot of these things are, how they run their books, what their priorities are. Do you know that it cost, well, back then, $20,000 an hour to fly one of those jets, those private jets that go around? $20,000 an hour in the air. Yeah, how do I know that one? Okay, never mind. Yeah, the world and its system really sucks. Jesus Christ is your answer. You don't need them. You don't need them. You don't need the crap that they peddle. You don't need their... If you want Him, if you want truth, He's there. But what He's going to do is He's going to require everything from you. He's going to strip you completely to nothing. He's going to take you... The first thing He's going to do after you bow your knee before Him is He's going to take you, fill you with His Spirit, and then take you out into the wilderness. And the world will try to keep you from going into the wilderness. And if you're in the wilderness, it'll offer you everything possible to get you to go back to the world. But if you're going to follow Him, He will carry you through that to the very end of yourself, where there's nothing left but Him. The reflection of who He is in you, the fire that you must go through to become what God made you to be. He's going to take you through that. And then when you come to the conclusion of that death to self, which is a very real, very painful dying process, when you come to the close of that and you truly are crucified with Him, it is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in and through you. And then what He does is He says, okay, now you are in the world but not of it. I am going to send you back in with an assignment to do this. And this is now me assigning you, not you picking it unto yourself, but me sending you to do my will. And you go and you do what it is that he sends you to do with joy, with peace that passes all understanding, because it's God that works in and through you. Hey, he's in control. He loves his people. He doesn't lose anyone that is his. And hey, for me, look, I do not apologize one iota for what it is that God has called me to do and what it is that I do. Now, yeah, there's times I gotta repent to him and continue to work to stay in alignment, and I'm seeking that. But this is the walk he's got for me. And you do what God's called you to do, I'll do what God's called me to do, and in the end, the body of Christ will fulfill what God has for it at this time, in this way, in the earth. Hey, I want to pray with you really quick. Father, I just want to say thank you again, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I thank you, Father, for their lives. I thank you, Father, that you are revealing, Lord, the deceptions even in this day, making things clear and known and brought to light. And Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, right now, Lord, we love you. We seek you. We want, Lord, your truth. We want, Lord God, your plan and your purpose. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would just rise up strong in your people. Lord, raise us up, Father, to do that which you've called us to do. Father, we bring every care and every concern that we may have to your feet. Lord, you said in your word to be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication to make our requests known to you. So, Father, we just pray that you take all things into your care. And Lord, that your will would be done in each and every circumstance of our lives. We leave them at your feet and we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. I love you very, very much. Catch up with you soon. Hey, God bless you. Hey, and smile. Jesus loves you. All right, talk to you soon.